Well, it's been a couple of weeks, a bit of an unscheduled break due to, well, life, I suppose, and maybe lack of content, but we're back, Noah and I, back for our regular Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, depending where you are, show. We're going to be covering sleepers today. We've got about eight to work through. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me, follow me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Follow my co-host, Noah Rubin, at NoahRubin22. Let's bring him in. Noah, good to have you back on the show. It has been, feels like a couple of weeks. I'm not sure exactly how long it's been, but yeah, life has just been pretty hectic here. How have things been for you?
Yeah, first of all, it's good to be back. It's always fun doing this, and life's good. It's busy. It is officially draft guide season, so we're working hard on that. That takes, obviously, as you know, lots and lots of hours, but then other stuff also just been busy. So it's, you know, usually the off season is the time where there is a lot of time, and it felt like it was like that for 2 months. And now it's like everything's kind of happening in one wave. It's like, yep, nope, no more free time for Noah. But This is the fun stuff, so we're good.
Yeah, and it feels like it flips pretty quickly because I feel like last time we sort of did a show, the Olympics were probably, well, they were either on or they were wrapping up, or and we were, fantasy content was sort of, we were forcing it a little bit, whereas now we're in it. And you would know, I've been doing player outlooks for RotoWire for I don't know, a month. Now I think I'm up to about 200 of them, and yeah, mock drafts are happening. Look, Josh Lloyd's doing mock drafts. If he's doing them, then we're in mock season because he is adamant that he doesn't do them too early, and he's been in a couple. And you've got a lot of dynasty stuff going on as well, so we'll chat about that a little bit later. But yeah, it feels like we're really in the thick of it now, and what day? I don't know when is opening night. The date, do you know off the top of your head? It must be 2 months.
October 22nd is the first night of the regular season. I believe the preseason is October 4th.
Right. So what, 5 weeks from preseason, and seven and a half, 8 weeks till opening night. So let's go. Let's talk about some sleepers. Yeah. Sleepers, well, as a term, I don't think sleepers are what sleepers were 10 years ago, 5 years ago. There's so many people in this space now talking about players that we like late in drafts. But, hey, we've got a few that we like. I'm going to let you lead us off with your first name on the list here.
Yeah, and just on the idea of sleepers, I think I've had to do this a little bit when I was doing my by position series for Dynasty. It was like, sure, it's going to be very hard to find a quote unquote sleeper for somebody that's paying attention to it year round. That's, you know, doing the in-depth dynasty 400 deep leagues. Like, they're keeping up with news 24/7. They're keeping up with tweets 24/7. Like, if somebody tweeted about somebody in the last 2 months, like, they're on it. But there are people that are more normal, and they don't just focus on fantasy basketball 24/7 like us. You know, this might be the first time that somebody's tuning in to see a fantasy basketball podcast for the season because they've been focused on whatever else. So maybe it'll sound like we're geniuses. So maybe it'll work out really well for us. My first quote unquote sleeper is Tyus Jones. Actually, I don't know if you have his Yahoo ADP or rank right now. I don't have that right now, but I remember when I looked earlier, it was outside the top 120.
Yeah, I can bring up his ADP, our ADP data. So yeah, if you get going on him, I'll bring up his ADP data.
Okay, and I don't remember if I checked Fantrax or Yahoo, but I definitely didn't check the FBI. So maybe the FBI draft only leagues are all over it, and he's going earlier. But when he signed with the Suns, it was with the intent to start. Like, that was what he said in his message. That's what they offered him. Like, they need a point guard. And I think they're realizing that. They try to do it with Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and KD kind of splitting the duties last year. But they're like, hey, like, why don't we just have this one guy do this? And that's probably going to push Grayson Allen to the bench. Tyus Jones was really good in Washington last year when he was on the floor before he got hurt. I don't see a reason why he would go to Phoenix and have better players to pass to, better scorers to pass to, and just wouldn't go as well. So, yeah, I'm expecting not super high usage production from Tyus Jones, but you're not going to find, there's only a couple of point guards in the league that give you that combination of really good assists and not that many turnovers. And he's one of those guys. And he's based on the ADP data I saw going pretty late in draft. So hopefully it's not like he's in like the 80s or something with the FBI data, because that would really throw off my argument.
No. So FBI, I've got him at about 130.
Perfect.
Late 120s, 130. And for me, I mean, a sleeper is someone, as you said, hard to find a sleeper. Probably one advantage if you're in a league to drafting right now is that you can get some sleepers, because you'll have guys in your league that aren't stupidly listening to podcasts
right
out from the season. And so you can catch those sleepers. It's going to get harder and harder as we get closer to the season. But, yeah, for me, a sleeper is anyone that you're getting in your last – I mean, depends on your settings, depends on your league depth. But for me, anyone that's not a starter. So if we think of sort of a standard league, anyone outside the top 120-ish, outside the top 10, 9 rounds, who's got sort of top 100 upside, potentially top 80 upside. And Tyus Jones has that. I mean, we saw last year he was a top 100 player. He started in Washington, but he only played 29 minutes a game. So he wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So I think he's probably going to be similar in Phoenix, maybe a minute or two less, and obviously won't have to do as much offensively. But we've seen him in the past when he was with Memphis and Minnesota. Was he with Minnesota? Surely he was. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. Anyway,
yes. Memphis.
Yeah, way yes, back.
He was, because I was actually listening to Jeff Teague's podcast earlier when he was talking about De'Aaron Fox and saying that he needed to come off the bench in favor of Tyus Jones because De'Aaron Fox was way too fast for him. So, yes.
We've seen when he doesn't have to focus as much on scoring and things like that, he gets assists, he gets steals, he's efficient. So, yeah, no, I like him as a late round target who's got a fairly safe floor. I think some of these guys that I'm talking about, yours not quite as much, but some of mine have a pretty low floor as well. Like, they could bottom out at top 200. But Tyus Jones feels really safe in that range. So, So Tyus Jones, 121. On per RotoWire, 130 on Fantrax. Okay. Here's a question. Will Tyus close games? What do you think? It's a good question. I think, is he going to be one of these guys who starts, but they roll with Grayson Allen in the closing five?
I think it's probably situational. Like, if Grayson Allen has hit five threes that game, then they'll probably close with him. Or if it's matchup dependent and like, I don't know, maybe the Thunder off the top of my head, like Tyus Jones is like smaller, so maybe they want better matchups defensively, whether that's Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, maybe even Ryan Dunn, just because they have a bigger lineup, then maybe they go with somebody else. Maybe sometimes he closes. Mm. I think that like that is a good point, is that I don't think he closes every game, but it's just going to be entirely situational.
Yep. Agreed. First guy that I'm going to talk about is fantasy favorite Kelly Olynyk. Anyone who's played fantasy in the last 5 years knows how good he can be, but it really depended on his role. What's it going to look like? So he's in Toronto. Finished last season in Toronto. Unlike Tyus, I think there are quite a few questions around Kelly Olynyk's role. Is he going to start? No, I don't think he'll start. I think he'll come off the bench. Is he going to play pure backup five? Will he play some backup four? I guess for me, this is one of those guys who, I don't know, you're sort of drafting him for what he can do, not necessarily what you think he's going to do. But it wouldn't surprise me. And Toronto don't have a lot of depth at center. They've got Jakob Poeltl there who, I mean, he's not injury prone, but he's also not, allergic, I don't know, lack of a better term, to injuries. So he can get injured. Toronto are probably going to be towards the bottom of the standings. So behind him, they've got, I think, Bruno Fernando. Chris Boucher is still on the roster. I think they've got Ochai Agbaji there as well. So that, I don't know. They just don't really have a lot of depth at the four and five positions. So I can see a world where Olynyk plays 25 minutes a night. And we've seen in the past, I mean, he was 123rd last year in 22 and a half minutes. If he can get to 28, he's top 100, top 90. So this does depend a little bit on how they utilize him. Do you see him having a significant role off the bench, or is he going to, are they going to lean into those younger guys a bit more and just sort of play Olynyk as required and look to move him at some point?
I think that Toronto is such an interesting team because you could easily make an argument that, hey, they won 25 games last year. Like, they're not going to be good again, and maybe they're tanking, and, you know, some similar situation happens to last year, and Kelly Olynyk ends up starting a good bit because Poeltl's out due to a minor injury for 30 games or something like that. But then also, I think that they're talented enough to maybe compete for a play-in spot in the East if they really try. So it's like, I don't really know how the team is going to look as far as how successful it'll be and how much of a factor that is. But I would imagine that Olynyk is the first big off the bench. I mean, I think Bruce Brown is probably the biggest threat to him playing minutes at the four, but I don't think Boucher or Bruno Fernando is really going to threaten Olynyk seeing minutes at the five. So I think your number of like 24 minutes per game is pretty realistic. I can't imagine that it's more than that, but I mean, if Poeltl, you know, isn't playing, I guess I could, well, he played 26 minutes per game last year. The most he's played in his career, I believe, is 29 minutes per game. So that's, in theory, at least like 17 to 19 minutes at center for Olynyk, assuming they just use those two. Maybe it's a splash of Boucher in there as well. So, and then he can play the four. So I don't think 24 minutes is unrealistic. He wasn't a guy that I was even considering as a sleeper, but I think you make a good point.
Yeah, I think he is one of those sleepers who you take him with your last round pick, and within a week or two, you'll either be thanking yourself and he'll be putting up numbers and playing minutes, or you just drop him. And that's the idea of sleepers, is that they are players that, can be dropped without too many consequences. So I think he falls into that category. Your next guy, where do you want to take us next?
Yeah, we can just go down the list that I have in order. We can go Brandon Pajemski for Golden State. I think, really, I was writing about the Warriors on the draft guide earlier, and I was just like, at least one of these guys is going to be really good. One of these, I mean, Pajemski isn't new, but like they added Buddy Hield, they added De'Anthony Melton, and I could see a scenario where it's Steph and Pajemski starting with Melton and Hield off the bench, and them just kind of cycling through backcourt minutes in a way that each of them, obviously Steph seeing the most, but each of them seeing at least 20 minutes per game, and maybe, you know, I don't think Melton needs, and I know I said Pajemski's my guy, but Melton and Buddy Hield are names to mention this conversation as well. But Melton could take 20, 22 minutes per game and give you a steal and a half to 3.5. Buddy Hield can play 20, 22 minutes per game and give you 2, 2.5, 3s. Like, it's possible. But I do think Brandon Pajemski is going to get the first crack at the starting shooting guard job alongside Steph. I know this isn't the first time we've talked about him on here. Like, I've been talking about him all summer, because he was really good for stretches with the Warriors when he was playing a lot, and just well-rounded production. I think him heading into his second season, just players normally take a jump. The opportunity is great with Klay gone. Like, it felt like last year, even if Pajemski was playing better, it was like, yeah, but guys, it's Klay Thompson. Like, it's the Warriors. Like, he has to see these minutes, at least, because there were stretches where Klay was just not playing very well. Mm-hmm. But you're like, oh, but it's Klay Thompson. Like, you know, I have to imagine that went through Steve Kerr's head at least at times, but now it feels like Pajemski should be the guy. Do we trust Steve Kerr to stick with him for the entire season? Like, he's a starter. Maybe not. But I think he'll get the first shot at it, and he could end up being really, really good.
Yeah, I do think he gets first shot at it. It is unfortunate for him that they signed Melton and Heald because there's depth now in that position where there wasn't prior to that. So it does make things a little bit more complicated for him. But yeah, I think he gets first crack. We saw moments last season, but his role, as you said, was up and down. Clay Thompson was there. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about the fact that the Warriors, outside of Steph Curry, they don't really have anyone who is a proven reliable scorer. I think Jonathan Kuminga is probably going to step up there on the offensive end. Does Wiggins do anything this year? We don't know. I'm not confident, but I mean, he's a good player. He's just had a lot going on. And so, yeah, Pajemski could potentially get 12 to 14 points a game. He's a good rebounder from the guard position, so he will get you 6, 7, 8 rebounds. Yeah, 4 or 5 assists, maybe a steal. I like him. Again, as we've said, he's a guy you can pick up, and if it turns out that he's starting but only playing 22 minutes, you just drop him. But if he's playing 30 minutes, then he's probably a top 120, top 100 player. So certainly a name to consider there. Ooh, where do I want to go? Let's just get Dyson out of the way. So I'm going to talk about Dyson Daniels again. Yes. Now, his ADP, if I pull up our data, is 145-ish. It's climbing. It's slowly climbing. He was down in the 160s. He's now into the mid-140s. I'm not sure what he is on Yahoo, but... anyone who listens to me knows that I love Dyson for this year. I think for me, it makes sense to start him alongside Trey. I don't know if that's going to happen. I really think Bogdanović is better. I just think you could utilize both he and Bogdanović's individual skill sets better if Daniels is starting and Bogdanović is coming off the bench, because Bogdanović is a scorer. He'll get some assists, but he's a scorer. That's what he does. If you watch the Olympics, you know that's what he does. He's coming off a really good year as a starter, so that sort of makes me doubt a little bit whether they're going to start Daniels. But I just think Daniels is really defensive focused. He can handle the ball a bit, so take the ball out of Trey's hands, allow Trey to spot up. So I just really think he complements Trey quite well. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm happy taking Dyson in the last few rounds if he's available. As I said, not going to get you a lot of points, but he'll get you some assists. He'll get steals. He'll hit threes. He's a work in progress. He's still quite young. He didn't play a lot of minutes in New Orleans. So I think this is his opportunity to really develop his game and create a... we'll figure out who he is as an NBA player and where his strengths are and where he can complement others. So upside, probably top 100. I just don't think he's going to score enough to push sort of into the top 80, top 70. But I could see top 100 if he's playing starters minutes or close to. Where are you on Dyson this year?
I'm very high on Dyson Daniels. I was just going to... check the I was curious, I was pulling it up right now, but like their pace of so the Pelicans played at a fast pace anyway. Okay, so never mind that point. But I think that it's a great situation for Dyson Daniels to, I hope, and I think it should be, that he is the starting shooting guard next to Trey, because bringing Bogey off the bench, perhaps you can stagger with whoever ends up being the backup point guard. That way it's never Trey and Bogdanović on the bench at the same time, because both of them, I think their offensive capabilities, like one of them needs to be out there, it's going to be a disaster for the Hawks. But Trey is obviously not a great defender. Dyson Daniels fits that really well. I genuinely think that playing alongside Trey Young, like I would imagine, like I don't think this is super disrespectful to say, but that'd be the best passer he has ever played alongside, at least in the NBA. So it should get him some pretty easy catch and shoot opportunities. I think that the Hawks offense being at a fast pace, which the Pelicans was last year, so it's not that much of a difference, but should get him some open looks. They're going to look to space the floor. You mentioned him as a ball handler. Like Jalen Johnson's there as well. So like those two as the secondary ball handlers behind Trey will be good. But yeah, I think you said the last couple of rounds, I've been trying to wait until the last round to get him, but I have no problem taking him a round or two earlier than that. And I definitely think he has top 100 upside just off the fact that he's going to play more minutes. And if he plays 28, 30 minutes per game as a starter, then yeah, I think top 100 upside is not unrealistic whatsoever. But if he actually also at the same time takes like a step as a player or two steps as a player, especially offensively, then it could be even better than that, because a lot of it is going to be the steals. Like that's going to be a lot of his production, but man, this is a really good opportunity for him.
It is. It's sort of make or break, I think. And yeah, as I said, I like the idea of him starting. I think if he starts, he's probably almost the first guy to come off. So he'll probably start playing maybe 5 minutes or 6 minutes. Bogdan will come on, and then Daniels might come back on for Trey and play a bit of that point guard. But they do have Kobe Bufkin there as well, who has flashed some stuff. So, yeah, it's a little bit of an unknown at the moment, but I do like him. Your next guy, if we're working our way through, I'm assuming we're going to go to Washington.
We are with Bilal Coulibaly, who was pretty good as a rookie. Obviously showed the defensive flashes was the main thing, and showed improvements offensively throughout the year. But really, I think this is just the fact that he's going into his second year and there's going to be more opportunities for him. Very similar to Pajemski, but he's on a really bad team. So like as of right now, I don't know if he is going to be a day one starter, depending on whether they start Brogdon or Jordan Poole at point guard, or if they do Brogdon at the one, Poole at the two, Kuz at the three, Saar at the four, Jones at the five. Like that's a realistic starting lineup, and I'm not saying it will be, but if I'm Washington, I'm probably prioritizing starting Coulibaly over Brogdon just because we're trying to see how good this guy is, trying to develop him. But either way, I mean, he's going to play 22, 24 minutes per game at least, potentially more. And if he just continues to develop, you know, specifically on the offensive end, because I believe he just turned 20 years old, like this growth is going to be pretty rapid. I think that if he's on the floor enough, the defensive numbers will be great for fantasy. And then hopefully the offensive production has improved enough that he's able to be a borderline top 100 guy.
Yeah, I think a little bit like Daniels, I think we're looking at his defensive stuff here as the platform. And then anything you get offensively is going to be a bonus. And we saw last year he was pretty raw on that end of the court. Yeah, look, does he start again? Yeah, it is a little bit unknown at the moment. Although if I had to, I mean, if we're just directly comparing the last two guys that we spoke about, I think I'm probably more confident that Coulibaly gets starters minutes. I'm not going to say he starts or comes off the bench, but I could see him hitting 30 minutes where I could see Daniels being closer to 27 maybe. So, and yeah, look, I mean, Washington are a team that, I mean, if we're being honest, they're probably not going to be in playoff contention when we get to January, February. So it could be that his role increases. So maybe he does just enough for the first 2 or 3 months of the season with a view to him stepping things up and playing a larger role down the stretch. So, yeah, another guy who you can get late. According to our data, I did see his name here. Where was he? Like 145 or something. Yeah, 145. Yeah. So you're looking at, what, round 12, round 13. So right on the tail end of those drafts. I'm going to go with Noah Clowney for my next one. So yeah. Brooklyn, speaking of tanking teams and teams that aren't going to be competitive, I think Brooklyn is possibly at the top of that list there. They're not going to be very good. Clowney, I thought, was pretty good down the stretch last year defensively. Had a 7-block game, some double-digit rebound games. He can hit threes. I think I just like what he brings to Brooklyn. He offers them something that they don't have at the moment. So he's a defensive presence who can spread the floor, and they don't have that. They have Nick Claxton, who's a defensive presence but can't spread the floor, and they have some floor spaces, but they aren't necessarily good defenders like Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson. So I like what he brings to the court. He can sort of play, as I've alluded to, he can play as that rim protector, but could play at the four as well. Potentially starts. I don't know what Brooklyn are going to do with their starting lineup. I think Ben Simmons is sort of the question mark. Like, does he play? Does he start? Does he come off the bench? How many minutes does he play? So there's a lot of unknowns with the Brooklyn roster, I think, heading into training camp and preseason. So we'll get a bit of an idea, as you said, early October when preseason tips off, as to where they view Clowney. But whether he starts or whether he comes off the bench, I think they're going to try and get him more minutes. He only averaged last season, he averaged 16 minutes a game. So I could see that jumping to mid-20s at least, 24, 25. Yeah, what he does in that time is potentially, he's one of these guys that could be top 200 or top 100, really, depending on how he hits the floor. What do you think about Clowney? He's sort of one that I'm not sold on him yet, but I like the upside.
Yeah, I don't think I have a problem with him being a late round dart throw, but I don't think I'm quite as optimistic, just simply because Claxton re-signed and is there. Like, if Claxton was gone, I don't think you could even call him a sleeper, because Noah Clowney would be drafted the top 100 at least. But just due to the fact that Claxton's going to be there, like, especially early on when they're not trying to lose games and Claxton's playing starters minutes, like, sure, I think Clowney can get to 20 minutes. I don't think that's unrealistic. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to look at his minutes per game last year because – I mean, he didn't play for most of the season. He wasn't even in the lineup until the last couple of weeks. Brooklyn's going to be in the tank race, and I definitely think Noah Clowney's going to have a ton of value the final 2 months of the season. But how much he plays before that, I'm not as confident in. Like, he might play 20 minutes per game, and then it hits February. They trade away Dorian Finney-Smith and Cam Johnson and whoever else they can trade away for picks. Claxton has an injury, and then all of a sudden Noah Clowney's playing 35 minutes per game for the final 2 months. So, like, you know, keep an eye on him. If there was like a, I don't know if it was like a flag or a star in your fantasy app, just to like keep him noted. That way it's when it hits the trade deadline, Brooklyn starts unloading everybody. You're like, okay, Noah Clowney, boom, fantasy friendly game. And he's going to play a ton of minutes.
Yeah. And I've just pulled up their depth chart here. It's sort of, I don't know. It's not pretty. I think Cam Thomas, Nick Claxton and potentially Cam Johnson are the only three there that, for me, should play 30 minutes at least. Like, I think they should be on the court starting, playing significant minutes. Beyond that, it's Ben Simmons, Bojan Bogdanovic. I mean, how are they going to utilize him?
Oh, yeah.
Are they showcasing him? I know we don't like that term, but are they going to get him out there with a view to trading him at some point? They then have Schroeder as well, who's... we know he can play heavy minutes. Finney-Smith, you mentioned him. But then they've got Jalen Wilson. They've got Dayron Sharpe. So it's just – it's such a mash of guys, and we don't know what that's going to look like. So Clowney, yeah, I mean, he could play 18 minutes. He could play 26 minutes. So yeah. Last round, grab him. I tried to grab him in one of our mocks that we did, and I missed out. But, yeah, grab him. See what happens in that first week. And if he's playing 18 minutes, you just drop him and grab someone else off waivers. Your last guy.
Yeah.
One left. Head to the Bucks.
Yeah, Gary Trent Jr. Signed with the Bucks. I don't remember the contract off the top of my head, but I think it was just like a one-year fairly cheap deal that was pretty surprising. Obviously, his last season in Toronto didn't go quite as well as the previous two. The steal numbers were down by about half a steal from the season before. And the free throw percentage was way down, but he barely shoots those. So it doesn't really end up making that big of an impact overall. Maybe makes a little bit of an impact in what the numbers say, though. I think he starts. I think that he starts at shooting guard alongside Dame and Chris Middleton. I was trying to look it up to see what the latest Chris Middleton news was, but I feel like he had something this summer, like another procedure this summer. So I would assume that he's healthy opening night because we haven't heard otherwise, to my understanding. But maybe we'll figure that out around training camp. But we've seen Chris Middleton sit back to backs. We've seen them manage his minutes. We've seen him miss a lot of times randomly. So I think Gary Trent Jr. feels safer. Like he'll be healthy, and he's been really good when he's gotten the minutes. You know, his minutes were also down last year. So if he can get up to 30 minutes per game, kind of replace Malik Beasley, but then also give you a steal to a steal and a half, I think he's that's going to work out great. And, you know, he's a good shooter, and he's playing alongside Dame and Giannis, who, believe it or not, are going to draw a little bit more attention than the guys in Toronto did, you know, just because it's Dame and Giannis. But I think it's a good situation for Gary Trent.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I agree. I think he starts. I do think that, I mean, look, he was pretty rough last year. He had that breakout season, I want to say two or three years ago, where he was up near two steals a game randomly, and his steals have sort of continued to drop since then. So I don't think we get back to those elite steal numbers, but he could certainly, he was at, where are we last year? He was at 1.1 last year. So I think that's sustainable, 1.1, 1.2. Yeah, look, he's not going to, he's probably, if they're healthy, he's probably the fourth option on offense. So he's not going to get as many shots as he was in Toronto. But
fair.
Middleton had ankle surgery on both ankles in June, I think it was.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's no word that he's not going to be ready to go, but that doesn't mean he won't be. So how many games does he play? Does Giannis sit out games? Does Dame miss any time? So any of those guys miss, and Trent simply just moves up the offensive pecking order. So,
yeah,
look, I think he starts. He's a little bit like Tyus Jones. I think his floor is really safe because he's going to get you three threes a game. He's going to get you 14 to 15 points. As you said, one at least a steal. Generally pretty good from the free throw line. So I think his floor is, probably top 130, and then ceiling is top 90, I think, if everything goes really well. And it might be that he's top 70 for a week and then top 130 for a week. He could go up and down depending on injuries to others. But unlike my Clowney pick and probably my next guy, he's a safe floor. He's safe enough floor that you can probably draft him knowing what to expect. Whereas Clowney, we have no idea. And this guy that I'm about to talk about, we also have no idea because we don't even know if he's starting, what his role is going to be. And that's Khalil Ware from the Miami Heat. Really good in summer league. I thought he was probably the standout center. A lot of people were watching Donovan Klingon and Alex Saar and Zach Edey, who Edey got injured, I think, from memory, hurt his ankle.
He did.
But I thought Khalil Ware was really good for Miami, and those discussions sort of started as to whether Miami would consider starting him at the five and playing Bam at the four. I don't think that'll happen. I'd like it to happen as someone who is trying to get Khalil Ware in a lot of my teams, but I don't think it happens. So this is probably one that I'm saying draft him and cross your fingers, because I don't have a lot of certainty that he's going to be playing significant minutes, but I think he could hit 20 minutes. He's a good rim protector. He can stretch the floor a bit. So, yeah, pretty unknown. I mean, what did you think about him in summer league, and do you think there's any path to him playing enough to warrant standard league rostership?
Yeah, I thought he was phenomenal in summer league, specifically just looking at, when you look at numbers, like, oh, this guy's going to be great for fantasy. I think that Miami can get creative enough. Like, I trust Eric Spoelstra to get creative enough to get him on the floor, assuming he plays well in training camp and earns minutes. And he's not like a really good shooter, but I think he has shooting upside, has shown a little bit of that. And then obviously Bam became a three-point specialist this summer with Team USA after showing it a little bit down the stretch last year. So maybe they can play both of those guys at the same time. I think that could be fun, because if they're able to both space the floor enough that it's not like they're having two non-shooting bigs out there, and then defensively, that could be pretty fun if they're able to get the most out of him. So what does that end up looking like for him? I mean, 20, 22 minutes per game, I think, is probably his ceiling, assuming everybody stays healthy. Obviously, he'll play more if people get hurt, but I don't know that that ends up resulting in standard league value. I think that the talent is there, but I'm just not convinced that the opportunity is going to be there without some sort of injury. But it's entirely possible that Eric Spoelstra like gets him in the gym and is like, no, this guy is awesome. We're going to play him 25 minutes per game, him and Bam at the same time. And then whenever Bam's off the floor, he's definitely on the floor and they get the most out of him because of hashtag heat culture or whatever. Like it's possible.
Mm. Yeah. He is sort of a bit of a dart throw. And look, I mean, if Bam is not a rim protector, he's a good defender, but right. He's not an elite rim protector. So he does give them a different look and a different rotation. So, yeah, we'll see. And I mean, Jimmy Butler will probably get injured at some point. He's probably injured already. So there's going to be moments where Ware does start. I think we certainly see him start at least a handful of games at some point during the season. And that'll be interesting to see what he can do as a starter. I'm less convinced that he's going to play 25, 26 minutes as we move forward. I think, as you said, it's probably 20 to 22, which is more of a deep league kind of a guy. But, again, I'm happy to take him just as a sleeper and just see what happens in that first 1 to 2 weeks of the season. So that's all of our guys that we wanted to go through. I'll just throw up some quick comments that we had in here. So Gafford in the 120s. I mean, thoughts on Gafford this year? Because Gafford and Lively, I think, are probably going to continue to split minutes. I prefer Lively over Gafford, personally. What do you think Gafford can do this season?
I agree with you. I think we had this conversation before after one of our mocks, but Lively over Gafford would be my opinion as well, though I think it'll be close enough to a minute split that both will have standard league value. But I think Gafford in the 120s is actually pretty good because I think during that mock, both of them went around pick 100. So Gafford in the 120s is great value. I don't think he has a ton of upside simply because they'll both be in a minute split. Obviously, if one of them gets hurt, then they're both – or then the other one is going to pop and should be really, really good. But we also saw, or maybe is Maxi Kleba still there, or did he leave? I feel like he's still there. Okay, but we saw him at times. Like it was like almost like a three big split when they didn't want non shooting bigs out there. Kleba's obviously a little bit smaller, was a little better, can shoot the ball a little bit more. But I think Gaffney in the 120s is good.
Yeah, and I think both he and Lively, their per-minute upside is really good. Lively would make sense as sort of 26 minutes and Gafford 22. Like I think Lively, they start to lean more into him, but Gafford only needs 22 minutes to have top 100 value. So, I think Gafford is certainly worth grabbing late if he's available. Olynyk is better for Roto, yes, because he gets assists, he hits free throws, he hits threes, he does sort of everything across the board where he's not elite in any one or two categories. So I do like him. Heald and Melton will take minute from Pods. Yeah, it's, as I said, it's unfortunate because 2 months ago it was Podziemski's position and he really had no competition for minutes. Now he does. Rookie sleepers. I mean, I talked about Khalil Ware. Is probably mine. I think in terms of talent from what I've seen, Reed Shepherd is, I mean, I love what he does, but I'm just not sure what his role is going to look like. I mean, you're the dynasty expert. So if you sort of had to pick one rookie that we haven't talked about, would you have one off the top of your head that's worth taking a chance on?
I can give you two and maybe this is totally just a dart throw. Not that these are just new names, but Eve Nisi, I think just a lack of competition for minutes at center in New Orleans, even if the fact that he can't really shoot and Zion obviously can't shoot, it's kind of a clunky fit there. But I don't think that Daniel Tice is going to be commanding 30 minutes per game. So that's a guy that as a rookie could be a starting center and get starting center type stats. So that's a pretty good one. And then this is just I mean, Ryan Dunn's one of my favorite players in this past draft, and I think he's going to have a role with the Suns this year because of his defense and his block and steal rate in college were very, very good. So if he gets, you know, one, he's going to have to be good enough offensively, not a train wreck offensively, to the point where he's such a liability on that end that the defense doesn't even matter. But if he can be like, we'll call it suboptimal on offense, his defense is good enough that he should be able to play 20 minutes per game, at least maybe 15 to 20 minutes per game. But in that time, he can get you a handful of rebounds and then steals and blocks. So I like both of them.
I mean, Matt put up here as well, Kalawe. Yeah, we talked about him. Buzelis from the Bulls. I like him. It's a really interesting rookie class because I know it wasn't deep. It wasn't sort of didn't have a lot of high end talent, but because of that, we actually have a lot of unknowns with the rookies this year. And there's quite a few that could have significant roles or could barely be used. We just don't know. So even like we've seen the number one pick, I mean, Zachary Risacher, he doesn't really get talked about at all in fantasy circles. And he's probably going to start. So, I mean, where does he fit? We aren't sure. Alex Saar, who was sort of in that discussion for the number one pick, will probably start, but he'll start at the four, not the five. There's just so many questions about the rookies coming into this season, whereas last year we knew Wemby was going to be awesome. We knew Chet was going to be really good. We sort of knew who Brandon Miller was. Scoot Henderson was disappointing, but I thought flashed some stuff at the end of the season. So it's going to be an interesting season, I think, when it comes to what the rookies can do and what their roles look like. And talking of rookies, Dynasty, you've got a couple of Dynasty shows coming up. So what is on the agenda for the next few days?
Yeah, I've got one planned in my head that I haven't actually talked or planned it out with the guests, but that should happen over the next few days. But the one that I have planned is set with Hudson and Harley, two great Dynasty minds. We're going to redraft some players from the 2021 through 2023 classes, like have all of those guys available and just see how we compare them. And then you guys can tell us who has the best team. So that'll be fun. So that planned up, and then something pretty similar with different guests the week after. Getting jealous of everybody doing all the redraft content. I feel like there hasn't been as much Dynasty content this offseason as there was last year. Or as much general Dynasty interest, but going to keep going with a little bit more Dynasty content until we get closer to the season, and then we'll do some more redraft stuff. But yeah, that's what is coming up right now. I don't have a ton planned aside from that, just because, like I said at the beginning, it's busy time. It's draft guide season.
Yeah, we're actually in a mock draft in about an hour with the Menace Podman guys, so that'll give us a little bit to talk about. I think the Dynasty 30 rookie draft starts maybe tonight, my time. I want to say in soon. Like 14 hours.
Who are you picking?
I have the number one pick. Is that right?
Yeah, and I have number two, and I'm trying to decide if I need a trade. Who are you picking? Please tell me.
I have no idea. I've said in the group chat, I'm happy to even trade it because I need a forward. I have no forwards in my roster. So I have floated out there, and I did get a trade offer for GG Jackson and the number 21 pick for the number one pick. I'm not super high on GG yet. I don't think I'm high enough on him to trade away the number one pick. But anyway, we'll chat off air and
okay.
Yeah, I really have no idea. I mean, if I didn't have so many guards, I would be going Reed Shepherd.
But I think you should just definitely stick with your pick, just stick with your guns. go get the best forward available. That's what I think you need to do.
And that's where I'm sort of thinking Buzelis, what is he going to look like? And anyway, we'll talk off air.
Yeah.
We don't need to bore people with our personal Dynasty chat. People can find you, as I said, at Noah Rubin 22. You've got some shows coming up this week. We should be able to roll through now till the start of the season with some there's enough going on in terms of mock drafts and player projections and all sorts of things. And as you said, we're only a bit over a month away from preseason, so training camp will be before that. So we might start to get some just some little clues as to what the rotations are going to look like and playing time. So that'll be good. So go and follow Noah. As I said, follow me at AdamKing91. We are at FBI Basketball on Twitter. I think we're still rolling out some draft-only leagues as well. We're up to like 70 or 60 or something. So B-Dub is continuing to do those. But our redraft leagues will open fairly soon, I would say, as well. So plenty coming up in the next few weeks in the lead-up to draft season and the real season. Go and give this show a thumbs up. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate that. If you are watching this on Twitter, jump into YouTube really quickly and just give us a thumbs up and a subscribe. We, as with any of us analysts that are trying to build our brand, we really appreciate anyone spending some time with us. That mm-hmm. will do for today's show as I bring up our outro. Until next week, that will do. Catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.